better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Maddie T in studio with you today. And thank you as always for making us a part of your morning this morning. We are not only just one day closer on this Thursday to getting to the weekend, we're also one day closer to Christmas. So you know what that means. We're going to have to start playing some Christmas music, Tommy. I didn't do it before Thanksgiving. Me and Maddie T were talking before the show. We said, It's time. It's time to go out and start getting people in the holiday spirit of Christmas. So we'll see how it goes. And
y'all need me to get involved with this, get in a meeting with you guys.
Well, if you have any suggestions, because I know that you have a different taste of music. So if there's some sort of James Taylor Christmas song,
Plenty of those. Okay. I've got plenty
you got
of
a library of them.
I do on my phone.
Okay.
Not just to his, a bunch of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, just let us know because we're going to start putting them in.
Here's what we need to avoid, in my opinion.
Yeah, let's do that instead. Let's do the ones we shouldn't play instead of the ones we should.
There's a time and place for Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. But we only get a limited amount of time, guys, to play Christmas music. Mm-hmm. Let's play the good stuff.
Right. So
let's play the hits.
Yeah.
Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer did get deleted from the system this morning. We were also talking about some of the bad ones we don't want to hear. The Beatles' Christmas song is that one that I'm
playing. Yeah.
Also, I'm not a big fan of Wham's Last Christmas. So unless that's specifically requested, we're not going to play that.
Okay. Yeah, so those are the three that we have for sure said no, sir.
All right.
We've nixed them. So
I've got a Christmas playlist somewhere on my phone here.
Yeah.
I will go through at some point and give you some suggestions.
Thank you. Because that's what we're really all about. Because we got some of the classics. Of course, the ones that everybody loves.
55 songs here. So I got enough. I put a list together for the family gathering a year or two ago.
Oh, okay.
And just so I could have it in the background.
Correct.
Some good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have some of the classics like Run, Run, Rudolph, which is mainly known for Home Alone, at least for me. But
me, Matt, because I know you talk good that you're going to do all this. I know how this works. Matty T's going to do all the work.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll just tell Matty T what
needs to be
done.
Just cut out the middleman. Just go to Matty T.
I don't care really which one, whether it's Joy to the World or really anything else, but get one Whitney Houston Christmas song.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so there you go.
Because she can go.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't care what song, just a
Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
Well, yeah, we got that one.
Got to have that one.
Yeah, we got that one.
In fact,
one
if we could
sure.
get the video of that, would be.
John said she puts the sex in Christmas. I don't know what he meant by that.
Yeah, that's what I said. I must have heard it from somebody then.
Like that electric leg lamp.
Yeah.
Electric sex right there in the window.
Yeah.
In fact, speaking of leg lamps, I forgot we have one right here.
Yeah, it's only been there probably for the past 10 years.
That was given to me for Christmas.
That should be in camera shot. We need to get that in the background.
We'll work on that.
Yeah.
We got a leg lamp here in the studio.
Yeah, we don't have a lot, but we got that leg lamp.
Which I will watch A Christmas Story 17 times.
I will too.
Oh, yeah.
That will be on loop at the house.
Just a Christmas tradition.
Yeah.
Got to do that. I mean, Christmas movies, of course, everyone, we got to watch Christmas Vacation.
And so I went to the theater.
Number one.
But this makes you feel old, doesn't it? 30th anniversary of Christmas Vacation.
Oh,
so I went and saw it in the theater last year.
30 years old, that movie, and yet still iconic. Great.
And the Christmas song, that's the other one we got to have.
By who?
Nat King Cole.
Hmm. So. All right. Well, we could probably make that happen.
Those are a few of the staples. So
Maddie's getting his notebook out, taking some notes.
You work a James Taylor song in there, that's fine. But, we don't tune into him for Christmas. But,
okay.
You know.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. I'm sure we'll have us.
Those are some of the ones I would suggest if I was running this place.
If you were running this place. Well, one day maybe you will finally.
Maybe.
So.
Only been here 15 years.
Well, we will do all that.
I'm with you. I heard Ruskin and Zach playing a little bit of Christmas music yesterday, and that's kind of got me in the spirit. So I'm ready.
Okay. Driving in now, it's still nighttime when we get here, but leading up here, all the houses have the Christmas lights. I'm in the Christmas spirit now. Yeah. You have to be.
It's
now.
Time.
It's official now.
Yeah, it's time. We can dive right into that. So we're going to have some Christmas music here on the Morning Rush. And, you know, not just Tommy's suggestions, but if there's something that you as a listener really want, well, who knows? Maybe we'll read it.
We might do it.
We may ignore it or act like we didn't see it or something like that. But
we may get lost in
we'll glad hand you. Oh, yeah, that's a good one, Joe.
Yeah, we'll put that one in. Put that one in on the Saturday show.
That is awful.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it is a Thursday, folks. And since it is a Thursday, it's a recruiting Thursday. And we're going to be talking recruiting. Obviously, Richard Davenport is going to be joining us at 8 o'clock this morning. Talk really in depth about recruiting. Because last week when we talked with Richard, couldn't really dive into anything because you didn't have a head coach. You didn't really have any recruits that were interested in Arkansas or anything like that because, I mean, what kind of kids just like, oh, they fired their coach. Okay, now I'm interested in Arkansas, even though I don't know who the coach is going to be. You don't really have that. But now that Arkansas does have a football coach, and if you've been following on social media and following some of the recruiting experts like Richard Davenport, you have seen on social media that he has hit the ground running in recruiting. He's flying all over the place. He's having visits in homes. He's scheduling on-campus visits. He is doing everything and anything he can to try to get this recruiting season going in the early going. So, which is exactly what he needs to do, and that's what's been expected out of him. But something that I think we should start off the very first recruiting Thursday with Sam Pittman as the head coach is that if you're Sam Pittman, and in this 2020 class, if you're Sam Pittman, what is it that you are going to sell to recruits about you and your program? Because we knew what it was under Chad Morris, or at least we thought we knew. We knew that it was about playing time. It was about, you know, being a part of a... I know in hindsight, this sounds ridiculous that I'm saying these things. It was about being a part of a fun offense. Obviously, none of those things happened. But my point is that they tried to sell him on something.
Yeah.
And so if you're Sam Pittman...
I got it.
You already know. You already know what? Okay. What are they selling?
It can't get any worse.
Well, in that case, bring on the five stars. I'm sure they always wanted to play for a program that has
We have sucked as much as we possibly can the last 2 years. It can't get any worse. Come be a Razorback.
Yep.
There's your sales pitch.
Yep. Alabama's selling national championships.
Yep.
LSU's about putting guys in the NFL. Hey, as Arkansas have? Hey, can't get any worse.
Listen, Arkansas's done things the last 2 years Alabama will never achieve. So, you know, come on to Arkansas.
All about being the gold standard of sucking. Because that's what Arkansas has been the past two seasons. Yes. So, but you know, hey, things like that, though, as far as how bad it's been, there is some selling points that you could probably find in that.
I think what you have to sell is your vision. And, I think the idea of this, you can talk about we're going to be blue collar and we're going to be hardworking and, you know,
all well and good.
But I think what you got to go in there and sell, and I think you custom the sales pitch depending on if you're talking to an O-lineman versus if you're talking to a wide receiver versus if you're talking to a corner. So, I mean, obviously the sales pitch is a little different depending on who your audience is that night. But offensively, if you're talking, I think you've got to sell the idea and give the vision. And listen, I'm an O-line coach. We're going to get down there and get our hand in the dirt. We're going to get after it. You know, and we're go back to some of that blue collar talk, but we're going to build and the vision you sell, we're going to build from the inside out. And where Arkansas has really gone astray is they were trying to build from the outside in. You know, they got some good wide receivers. And I think what you sell immediately is there's pieces offensively.
Mm-hmm.
There's pieces of young talent right here to build around.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's get in some quick hitting headlines here presented by Williams Tractor.
Yeah, the True Blue Savings event's on right now through the end of the month at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers. Take advantage of 0% financing, cashback savings, and other year-end specials on select New Holland tractors, hay and forage products, and material handling equipment. Get in on all the True Blue Savings, Williams Tractor, Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
Arkansas women's basketball team absolutely destroys Tulsa last night in Bud Walton Arena, 91-41. So they're continuing on with their fantastic start to the season. Also, Barry Lunny Jr. released a statement yesterday thanking everyone for the past years as a coach and as a player, thanking Arkansas. So classy of him. Unlike other people who have not released any sort of statement since they have been let go from the U of A.
Who are you talking about?
Chad Morris. That's who I'm talking about.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
877-377-6963 is the number to call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. I know a lot of people are getting antsy, too, about the assistant coaches and the coordinators and what are we hearing? What are we hearing about that? Well, I don't know necessarily if we're hearing anything in concrete. However, there are a few names, I think, that a few media members here in Arkansas have thrown out.
And some interesting things have happened in the last 24 hours.
That's right. And one of them being Chip Long. Now, a lot of you may not know who Chip Long is. Now, Chip Long was the offensive coordinator and tight ends coach, that's key, at Notre Dame from 2017 to 2019, so for three seasons. And in that three-season period, as offensive coordinator, Notre Dame set a lot of records, school records, in their offensive production. Even this past season was their best year as far as the production went offensively.
Clay was talking about him a couple of weeks ago when all the search kind of began.
Right. And, well, here's what's the key about all of that. He's not at Notre Dame anymore.
No.
Mutually parted ways with Notre Dame. So he is an option. And to give you another little bit of background, he was at Memphis with Mike Norvell when they had their great offensive performance in 2016, but to go even further back.
Yeah, where was he before that, John? Come on.
In 2008 and 2009, under Bobby Petrino, he was at Arkansas as a GA.
Yep.
Kind of fascinating how that played out. Of course, the question is why is he not at Notre Dame then? If the numbers were so good, and if the production was so good, why is he leaving? Well, that is the ultimate question. And there has been some grumblings that maybe it's a possibility that his next stop could be as the offensive coordinator of Arkansas. Now, he's coached tight ends pretty much his entire career. He went to Illinois in 2010, 2011, was at Arizona State from 2012 to 2015, where every single stop he was either the coordinator and tight ends coach or just the tight ends coach. So, since Arkansas, after the departure of Barry Lunney, might be looking for a tight ends coach, and an offensive coordinator, and the fact that he was able to put together a really great offense at Notre Dame, it's a very viable option, and it would make sense. Now, not to say that even Sam Pittman's pursuing him, but if there's an offensive coordinator on the market, like guy like Chip Long, it makes sense to at least call him up and see what we're thinking, see what's going on, and see why he's no longer at Notre Dame, because I think that's going to be a key reason why.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is I think it'd be a name a lot of programs will be interested in, perhaps Arkansas being one of them. I just don't know where is there a crossing of the paths between him and Pittman where they would be associated with each other or be, you know, if you're a head coach, you got to be very comfortable with who you're hiring as a coordinator. It's very rare that you're going to hire someone as a coordinator you don't know very well from working together somewhere, or they have been a coordinator for someone that you worked, that they've been a coordinator for someone as a head coach that you worked for in the past, you know. So there's got to be some kind of connection where they've come from the same coaching tree even. We saw that with Bielema somewhere. He had hired guys that didn't have a direct connection with him, but they came off of the same kind of coaching tree or a branch that he is from. So.
Yeah, and when you mention how you'd like to have a coach or coordinator that you are familiar with, that you feel comfortable with, that's where the defensive coordinator position comes really interesting. Because the name being thrown around for that is Barry Odom.
Right.
The former Missouri coach.
Been on that from day one, almost Sam Pittman's introduction at Arkansas.
Because here's the thing about Barry Odom. He's literally been a Missouri guy. He played at Missouri back from 96 to 99. He was a high school coach there for a little bit. In Missouri, but then he became a GA in Missouri in 03. He was the safeties coach of Missouri from 09 to 2011. He was the Missouri defensive coordinator starting in 2015, and then became head coach in 2016 and moved on.
And
so
the
he's
job,
been a
and the
Missouri
job
guy.
Fell to him
right
to be head coach when Pinkel left. They couldn't get, I forget who the other candidates. I remember the video when they informed the team. The team didn't know who the coach was going to be, and they brought him in the side door and said, "Guys, here's your head coach." It's him. The team went
all
nuts.
We had. Sorry.
And that's kind of what really happened, you know.
Yeah. And from what it looks like, because here's this Big J journalism that we do with Barry Odom. He liked a few tweets from the Razorback football account, as well as Sam Pittman dealing with him becoming the new head coach. Also, when Barry Odom was fired from Missouri, one of the first tweets that was saying, thinking about you, great man, all that, was Sam Pittman to Barry Odom. So there's a lot of connections there that people are saying, well, if you could find a way to make this combination work of an offensive coordinator in Chip Long and a defensive coordinator in Barry Odom.
Perhaps.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a for sure thing happening, but something like that would certainly spark a lot of energy to say, man, you got some two big-time coordinators coming into Arkansas to start this thing.
Well, and if Barry Odom doesn't take this job, I guess his name was rumored with Memphis, but there's some other names going around that job. Matt Luke, who was at Ole Miss, is taking Sam Pippen's job.
Yeah, at Georgia.
We're seeing these head coaches in the SEC get some of these top assistant jobs, mm-hmm. not necessarily coordinators. But so Odom's got a chance to be a coordinator, probably make seven-figure money. I don't know that he's going to have a better option if he just waits, keeps his powder dry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Because there also has been the angle of maybe him rejoining Justin Fuente over at Virginia Tech as a defensive coordinator because
they've already hired a defensive coordinator.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
They elevated someone on staff.
That's right.
Tech may have a spot on their staff, but they don't have a coordinator over.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So if that's the case, then it would make sense that if Arkansas offered him the job and could pay him seven figures, which I believe Barry Odom would absolutely be worth seven figures.
How much would you pay Barry Odom to be your coordinator? Also knowing he has a buyout with Missouri, so, he might be willing to negotiate a little bit.
I'd say $1 million.
I think he would be worth at least that.
Yeah. I mean, you're paying Chavis 1.4 or whatever, 1.2, whatever it was. So I think he's worth that. And at Missouri, even though offensively they were never able to get it going, their defense was always extremely solid. They were ranked 14th this past year in total defense. Tell me, in Arkansas, you wouldn't take that? Take that all day long. So that's at least some interesting angles that they could go along with when it comes to their coordinator positions. Again, not saying that those guys are for sure coming, not even saying that they have interest in coming, but it certainly is interesting the amount of connections you can make between the program, between the coaches and all of that. And honestly, Tommy, again, I believe if they were able to put those guys on staff as coordinators, both Chip Long and Barry Odom, I mean, that would be the start of something that would excite Razorback fans, because then they would see, and once they got to know these guys and saw their resumes and saw what they were able to accomplish, it would be hard to beat that. And I know that there's some other defensive coordinators out there that people have been throwing around as far as, being interested in a Charlie Strong, if you will, maybe, but I still believe that there are some guys that are still capable, that could still be good coaches, even mm-hmm. if it's not that. Somebody was saying, Justin just texted in, and I've heard this too, and I actually saw this too. Something else to mention is that Barry Odom has started following some Arkansas recruits like Jacoby Criswell and those guys too. So this is where all this is starting, trying to figure out. But the question becomes, okay, so what's the holdup then? Why haven't an announcement been made if that's the case? So I'm not totally sure. But we made it through another day yesterday too, Tommy, where no more assistant coaches were named. So it kind of makes you wonder, will any of them more be named today?
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow?
Well, they haven't officially named anybody, right? There haven't been no releases. It's just we're seeing these guys show up on the recruiting trail.
Well,
Brian Davis, I haven't seen an email. Did I miss one?
No, I haven't seen an email, but it was reported that it's been confirmed.
I mean, it's been reported, but I don't think the university is officially.
They have not sent out a press release
right.
on the fact, no.
But, I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yes.
It's obvious what's going on there.
He's taking visits with him to recruit, so yes.
So, I mean, when you say announced, I mean, it's not like Sam Pittman. I don't think he's tweeted, hey, welcome. I mean, that's what we're seeing, like, for instance, at UT San Antonio, because we're paying attention a little bit to what's going on with Jeff Traylor. They're putting out, their headshot and a picture. Welcome, Barry Lunney, offensive coordinator, and a picture of Barry on the mm-hmm. official Twitter account. We're not seeing really any of that with Arkansas right now. But we're just seeing guys show up.
But doesn't that make you wonder why?
Unless I've missed something.
No, you haven't. But doesn't that make you wonder kind of like why? Like, why are you not announcing it seems like it's official?
This kind of happened with Morris, too. Kind of went the same path. Guys were showing up. Guys were on the job. And then it was several days till he put the whole staff. Then they announced the whole staff at one time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, because they did. They basically followed kind of. I think it's just a matter of you don't have time to slow down to give quotes to help the SIDs write the release. We got to recruit. And if you're a new coach coming in, wherever you're employed, you know, you got to leave. You got to pack a bag, leave your family. You got to get out of town there to get here. You know, you got a lot more other important things to worry about than a press release.
That's true. Because it wouldn't surprise me at all if Sam Pittman's out here just saying that there's a coach that's on staff being like, hey, man, I know you've never probably been to the U of A campus, but you're hired. Let's go recruit somebody.
In fact, don't even meet me in Fayetteville. Yeah. Meet me in
Georgia or wherever you're recruiting.
Morrilton, Arkansas.
Yeah. Come on down.
We'll meet where, there. Coach? Morrilton.
Tapping in on your phone. You'll find it.
Just type maps. It in your phone and then hang your head out the window and smell for the Pettijean meats.
Yeah.
Just follow the smell for the meats.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get down to that road, exit, was right. It 108 on I-40?
Some of these guys may be going straight on the recruiting trail, you know.
And that is the way it needs to be. They need to hit the trail hot and heavy. I mean, that's what they're up against right now.
Because who do they need to see? They need to see the guys that were on the commitment list, guys that are still on the, you know, that had decommitted, guys that are committed, and then guys that they have relationships with. You know, they had nothing in Fayetteville to see.
No.
See that later.
Exactly. And as far as I know, there's no big-time recruits in Fayetteville right now that you need to see. But I know that they're setting up official visits. And this is what's going to be great about talking with Richard Davenport. He's going to be joining us here in about an hour and 15 minutes. Is just figuring out what's their plan right now. Because that is the most daunting task for any coach to come in, but especially Sam Pittman coming in this program is, you know, you saw a lot of the decommitments happen when Chad Morris was fired. You were able to keep a lot of the in-state kids. You know, kids just wanted to be Razorbacks, wanted to play. And obviously, once they got the visits from Sam Pittman, it kind of solidified their commitment. They still feel on board with that. And it's like, you can't waste any time. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised at all if Sam Pittman's even slept a night in Fayetteville. You know, maybe one his first night. But the rest of it is just having to be out recruiting and trying to get these guys in. And again, it goes back to Sam Pittman having to sell these guys on to come to Arkansas and be a part of his vision and mm-hmm. what he has for them. But I don't know what that vision is, and maybe we'll be able to talk to Richard more about it. Maybe he's got a little bit of an idea of what Sam Pittman's going into selling recruits. But we know that Sam Pittman can sell offensive linemen. But what about the rest of them? Because he's always been able to get big-time offensive linemen. That's never been a problem.
Well,
I think it was what Clay was, when he was on with us on Monday, was talking about when he was the offensive lineman coach at Arkansas. You know, he was getting guys from Minnesota, from Denver, Colorado, from South Florida. I mean, he was going all over the country getting offensive linemen.
Best of the best.
Can he do the same with other positions?
That's going to be whether he, and that will mark whether or not he succeeds or fails. And that's why these staff hires are so important. You need another Sam Pittman on staff at that spot. Who is Justin Stepp? Or who's the guy at wide receiver that can go get the best wide receivers in the country?
Stepp's been with Pittman on these visits.
You know, who's the guy that... And more importantly, you know, I think Steve Caldwell's probably this guy. Who can go get the best defensive lineman in the country? Now, listen, Arkansas's not going to get the best inside techniques in the country. They're not going to get the best nose guards. They're not going to get the best D tackles. They're not going to get the biggest and fastest defensive ends in the country. You know, you're going to stand a chance on some linemen because of Sam Pittman. I'm sorry, but places like Alabama, Auburn, LSU are still going to get the cream of the crop. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia. I mean, but I know this. There's been Darius Filon and Trey Flowers and some really good guys that's come off that defensive line here.
Dietrich Wise, another great one. Yeah.
So Sakeem,
it is possible.
Kind of put on the tail end of that list. You know, a highly prized recruit at least. And imagine the defense the last couple of years without him. He didn't play real hard, didn't play real well the last year or so, but. You know, he was a five-star kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
kind of guy you're after, kind of guy everybody was after. So that's what you need, you know. You're going to have to find, I mean, that's where it starts. We talk about offensive linemen. Well, by golly, you need some defensive linemen too,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Need some linebackers.
Well, but you're going to win these football games
based
at those two
place.
Spots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fun to get wide receivers that run fast. And it's fun to get great quarterbacks. And, hey, we know how important it is. But you're going to win or lose based on those guys up front, both sides of the ball.
And that's where the main positive of having Sam Pittman as your head coach comes in, because so, you know you're at least going to have that.
If he signed 25 linemen this class, I guess I'm okay with that.
You might need them all.
You might need them all.
Yeah.
In fact, could we get a waiver to sign 50 of them?
No. In fact, just be on the lookout that this 2020 class, I mean, would it shock you at all if they had four-star offensive linemen? Wouldn't shock me.
Wouldn't shock me. I don't think that'll happen, but no, wouldn't shock me.
I guess you never know when it comes to Sam Pittman and doing that. But
that'd be the kind of turnaround we need.
Yeah, but it's going to be about, can he get the other guys in position? Can he get the whoever's assistant coaches are, can he be able to close out? Because listen, yeah, getting offensive line, I agree with you, Tommy, 100%. You got to get it done. It's the priority number one as far as your recruiting right now, to get dudes in that can actually be physical up front, because that's how you're going to win in this league. But there's going to have to be more pieces, too, that you're going to have to recruit at a
totally
high level.
Get, but where are you most deficient?
Oh, offensive line, without question.
Defensive line, offensive line.
Yeah, and as I said earlier in the show, if you are elite or at least great at offensive line, it's going to cover up a lot of deficiencies on your offense, and it's the same way on defense. If you have an elite defensive line, it's going to cover up a lot of the deficiencies you have on defense. It's where it all starts. And, you know, I think it was maybe yesterday when we were talking about the offensive line, or maybe we had a caller call in. But just think, if Arkansas had a solid offensive line over the past few seasons, how many more games they probably would have won? I'm not saying they would have gone out and won 10 games, but I don't see them losing to teams like San Jose State. I don't see them losing to teams like Western Kentucky, like North Texas. You know, the games that they shouldn't have lost.
And if they had won those games, Chad Morris is still your coach.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But it shows you the importance of having offensive line.
I'm a believer that if Sam Pittman hadn't left, Brett Bielema wouldn't have been fired, because they'd have won those one or two games. They'd have had enough in the tank to win that game or two, to not fall off the edge in the second half against Missouri, to probably beat Virginia Tech in the Belk Bowl, things like that, that would have preserved Bielema's job, you know, into that next year where it really started to come unraveled on him.
Yeah. So thank you,
he'd Brett. He had enough credit built up.
So thank you, Brett Bielema, for being petty and for being divisive and making sure that Pittman left.
When him and Jim Chaney could not get along and get on the same page, and he didn't extend Jim Chaney's contract, that marked, you know, I know Pittman stayed one more year, but when Chaney left, Pittman was going to leave. That was just the way it is. And I still won't be surprised if Jim Chaney somehow finds his way to Fayetteville.
I won't be pumped. I won't be. But I won't be surprised either. No, I won't be surprised either, because I get it. They work well together. You want guys that you trust. But, you know, it just makes me wonder if they could go to a different direction. Maybe try something different. I don't know. That's going to be up to, ultimately, Sam Pittman. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Pig Suey's on the phone. What's going on, Pig Suey?
Hey. Hey, good morning. Hey, one of you guys to maybe talk about, appears there's evidence that, like, some of the bigger schools, like Alabama, they connect the dots between, like, medical hardships and other forms of scholarships. I mean, you know, for example, a quarterback that throws 5 interceptions that really has no future here in our program. Man, can't we try to clean up the roster in some way? I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of injury that you can consult with that kid to try to move on, and so that we can open up more scholarships. Share with me if you guys have any kind of anecdotal evidence about some of these other schools and how they do that to Alabama, to clean up the roster on, obviously, players that aren't going to be able to contribute to the program.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
I saw something on Twitter, and thanks for the call. There was a deal on Twitter about this that Sports Illustrator, one of the national writers, was getting ready to release about a 4-part special on this, along these lines, and how it wasn't just injuries, but it's players with off the field issues as well, and how they were managing and getting around some of these scholarship issues. And, you know, in the past, it's been where your scholarship was year to year, but that's one of the reasons. One of several reasons APR was put in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Arkansas is at. Is Arkansas's got to be very careful right now, because Chad Morris turned over a lot of the roster.
A lot.
And you get a point for eligibility and a point for retention. And you keep turning these guys over, and you're going to get in a danger zone with the APR.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as you want to find a way to maybe flush some more guys out of the system, you're going to have to do the math on it. Somebody in compliance, somebody somewhere in that administration building is going to have to tell Sam Pittman, listen, you've got to get and make sure this many guys are eligible and you got to retain this many number of guys, or the rolling four-year average, which has got to be like above 925, I believe is the number, and 1,000's a perfect score. You're going to be in danger of being below the 925 if you don't keep this many players. So there's some math that goes into this, and I don't know how close they are, but they have not retained enough players, and I don't know how many's left eligible that you start losing points.
Yeah.
And that's a rolling four-year average, but that's going to be part of the equation for how Arkansas manages this roster.
Yeah, and you talked about cleaning up the roster. I think that there will be some of that, because let's be honest, anytime you have a new coach, there's always going to be a little bit to that. But also, I think a lot of these guys, I don't know if you're referring to exactly Nick Starkel, because you brought up a quarterback that throws five interceptions. I assume that's who you're referring to. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what could Nick Starkel do with the right quarterback coach and the right offensive coordinator?
Mm-hmm.
You know, could he actually come out and perform better, build his confidence back up, be the quarterback that everybody was hoping he could be? I think that's going to be the most interesting thing, is seeing some of these guys that we may have deemed as failures, may have just wrote them off. What can they do with actually having a quality quarterback coach with a quality offensive coordinator and a quality offensive plan for these guys? Could they go out and actually be the players that everyone was hoping they would be? You know, same thing on defense. Some of these guys that have struggled these past years. What can they do with an actual coach, a quality position coach, to help them along? I don't know. So maybe all these guys that you thought were not good enough, maybe they will be good enough under this new staff. Maybe they need some coaching and that'll be the difference. But again, ultimately I have to leave that up to Sam Pittman and his staff on deciding.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Got a few of you texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline. JP and Alma says there's more talent on this football team than people think. Players weren't coached, and honestly, I didn't believe they didn't want Chad as their head coach. They just went through the motions and didn't really try. Do you believe there's actually talent on this team?
Absolutely.
But how much talent is the question?
Well, I mean, that's the hard part. Do I believe Burks and Knox and Jefferson and, you know, I don't know, you know, what's going to happen with Rakeem Boyd. Now, he's an older player, but
he could go to the NFL.
He's a very talented player. I think they got some good talent. Henry's a good young player at tight end. So those are just some of the offensive guys. I think where they're really lacking players and they need more good young players, who are the good young players on defense? Hey, these are going to be the stars a year or two from now. I'll sit back. I'll hang up and listen. All right? I'm going to hang up.
We're going to have some dead air here for a second if that's the case.
So I can name you some players I believe are going to be very productive this next year on offense. Who are the young players that are going to turn it on and be their dogs, be the studs next year on defense that were freshmen and sophomores this year?
I mean, there's none that you can just point to and say, this is it and this is why. I mean, you guys got guys that coming out of high school that are highly recruited, you know, a Colin Clay, for instance, you know, with another year of development, would he be able to be that guy? You know, a guy like a Bumper Pool, could he take a next step heading into his junior year?
Is he a young player anymore?
Maybe. He was a sophomore. True sophomore. Mm-hmm. So maybe he could be one. As far as the secondary goes,
Henry, a Grant Morgan.
I mean, there, maybe.
Maybe.
And again,
the secondary is where it was just,
yeah.
Now, they got young guys here. You know what?
Catalon looked like Cameron Curl.
They did not look good, but they got a lot of battlefield experience this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can, the next staff can take that and rebuild their confidence. I've never met many guys that are corners or safeties that lack confidence.
No.
You know, so maybe they can, figure out how to coach them with better technique, better whatever they didn't have last year, because they didn't cover well. I don't know if it's a speed issue, the technique issue. I don't think it's physicality necessarily. They're just getting beat bad. So The secondary was the worst. Is the secondary the worst part of that football team last year? Either side of the ball?
I can't argue it. No. I mean, yeah, I mean, it might have been because it was just game after game. It was bad.
I mean, why would anyone run the ball? You did because you did, but it's all day, every day.
Everything was so bad, Tommy, just kind of blurred together.
I know.
You know, that's the thing. It's like because the linebackers, I mean, good grief, they weren't good.
But secondary was awful.
But secondary, yeah, it might have been next level awful. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Philip is in Bentonville. What's going on, Philip?
Hey, how's it going this morning? Hey, I don't know if it was on this show or another show that it was made that Chad Morris never tweeted, thanks, guys, thanks for the years or nothing.
Yeah.
But I noticed yesterday that Lenny Jr. Mm-hmm. Twittered that thanks for being a coach player. Tell him thank you for the years you do. Do you possibly see down the road, let's say, down the road, and he does be successful, do you see Lenny maybe being the mouths on now, whereas that the next coach, and he's successful as an OC, or maybe he gets a lower division team as a head coach, that we come back and look at him maybe to be head coach down the road?
1,000%. Lenny, absolutely.
Lenny, oh, yeah, this is just – he had to take a different path to come back to Arkansas in a bigger role.
Because you talk about a dream job. Barry Lenny Jr., I don't think I'm putting words in his mouth. His dream job would be to be the head coach of the Arkansas Razorback football team.
Barry's, what, 45 years old? He's got a lot of
– You would know better than
yeah. Yeah, he's 45 or so. He's got a lot of years in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
He was a senior in high school and I was a sophomore, so I'm 43. He's got to be around 45.
There you go.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, and I think
when I arrived at Southside High School in the fall of 91, he was the quarterback of the team his senior year and won the state title.
Mm. And then you followed in his footsteps and won the state title too, right?
92, Brad Ray moved from Charleston to Southside, won it again in 92. Okay. Team got beat in the semifinals in 93. I was in the radio booth.
Oh.
I already knew, and that's where I started my radio career.
Oh.
October 1991.
So you got to call a state championship, right?
Well, I didn't call it. I was in the radio booth.
Oh.
Glenn, the late, great Glenn O'Neill called the game.
So what good are you? I was trying to say like you were going to do be something, a part of this great team and this great legacy, and couldn't even give me that.
One of my favorite radio stories, though, is Glenn would always get a newspaper when we rolled into town. Played El Dorado in the state playoffs that year. And El Dorado was undefeated, number one team in the state. Southside wasn't thought of much. And there was, Glenn picked up a newspaper, and the coach had some, let's just say, bulletin board material in the newspaper about how bad they were going to beat Southside that night. Glenn handed that to Barry Lunny Sr., who then read it to the football team, and it became bulletin board material right before the ball game, and Barry Jr. and that team went out. And as Barry Sr. likes to say, before the popcorn got hot, it was 14-0, and they never looked back. Mm. So,
there you go. Cool story from back then.
Yeah.
But to go back to your answer, though, Barry Lenny would love to be the coach of Arkansas. Yeah,
that's where we got derailed.
Yeah, that's where we went off the rails.
I think when you've been passed over for a job, and I think he would have stayed if he could have been the coordinator. If Sam Pittman said, you're my old coordinator. And you know what? I think most fans would have been A-okay with that. But I understand why Sam Pittman, being first-time head coach, you can't just name a first-time coordinator, too.
Yeah.
Too many first times will get you be your last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I get it. And Barry probably needed to leave for his betterment. Not because anybody wanted him to leave, but he needed to leave to probably find a path back someday.
Yeah. And just think about all the coaches that were from Arkansas or coached at Arkansas as an assistant or whatnot that moved on. I mean, essentially, they had to do it for the best of their career. You know, a guy like Jimmy Johnson moved on. A guy like Barry Switzer moved on. I mean, guys that had to move on. Now, you would have loved him had come back to Arkansas, but fortunately, that wasn't the case. I mean, but
he's got 20 good years in front of him.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time. And if he shoots up the ranks and does really well at UTSA and maybe even gets another head coaching job at a smaller school or however, if he has high-level success, I am sure he will always be welcome back at Arkansas.
And I don't know how much high-level success you can have at UT San Antonio, but you can put up good numbers. You can win your league.
Mm-hmm.
You can win your conference title. You know, you do all you can do to win everything you win at that level.
That's right.
And you'll get noticed.
That's right. Absolutely.
And you're in a great recruiting ground.
Yep. So I see no reason why, no reason to believe that he won't be able to get it done and be able to get his coaching resume built up and starting there at UTSA, because that was the right move for him. And also, by the way, Philip, the comments we were talking about with Chad Morris not saying anything still bothers me. Maybe, I don't know, maybe, am I wrong in that it bothers me that he has not said anything since being fired?
No, you're right.
Okay.
See, I'm thinking of all the sarcastic things Chad Morris could at least tweet. At least be sarcastic.
Yeah, at least do something.
On behalf of me and my family, we can't say, here,
thanks for welcoming us into Fayetteville, even though my family did not live here.
You know, thank you many times over. Here, 10 million thank yous or something along the lines of
that. I would respect him a lot more if he did something like that. Like, thanks for the money.
Thank you, thank you millions times over. Or
now,
something, you know.
Now, that would be, again, respectable for me. But not the fact he hasn't said anything.
I would just send a trolling tweet.
Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, the tweet that Barry Lunny, we'll get to the phone lines here in just a second, but the tweet that Barry Lunny had put out, he said, thank you, Arkansas, for 14 years as a player and coach. This perfectly sums up how my family and I feel about our time here. It has been a privilege. And what the graphic says underneath it, it says, it is a privilege, not a right, to play, coach, and work for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Total class. Nothing. He's always been a class individual, class family, and wouldn't expect anything but that from him. And he's going to do well no matter where he's at, because that's just, he's a winner.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a winner in life.
Coaching is in that family. It's in that DNA.
Yeah. I mean, his dad, just Hall of Famer, you know.
And his brother, Hall of Fame CrossFit coach for me. So
Yeah, I mean, he ought to be in the Hall of Fame for a while.
I mean, look at this body, Tommy. I mean, it's just, the results speak for themselves. The results speak for themselves.
Yeah. Wow. Just look at that body. I don't think I'd put that on as an advertisement.
Is this
the before or after photo I'm looking at?
It's holiday season. It's bulking season, Tommy. It's bulking season.
You carbon up?
That's right. You know, gotta be able to get hibernated for the winter here. So
I resemble that remark.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Skip is in Bella Vista. What's going on, Skip?
Skip.
We lose your Skip. You're not there anymore, Skip.
Push that button here.
No, Tommy, looks like you got everything working. No. Guess Skip's not there.
It's like an elevator. I'll push it again.
Yeah, keep trying. All right, well, Skip, call back if you get a chance. So, but we'd like to get you on there. We have a few people texting into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. JW says, our D-backs never looked at the football. LSU D-backs become receivers as soon as the ball goes in the air. Our poor guys just look at the receivers' numbers. I mean, yeah, that was when we were talking about the secondary, just how bad it was. That's definitely a factor into it. This comes from Nathan and Rogers. Chances we actually land Barry Odom as defensive coordinator. Bonus question, chances we land Chip Long as offensive coordinator. That was what we were talking about. Yeah, that's what we were talking about in the first hour of the show. I mean, as far as the chances go, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know the interest from Pittman to them. I don't know the interest from them to Pittman. I don't know.
I know this. They're both unemployed.
That's right.
And a job at Arkansas is better than a job at the SEC Network or wherever.
Going the Gene Chizik route.
Being an analyst for Saban or, whatever. You know.
Yeah. And Barry Odom would be a guy that, with the amount of SEC experience he has and the success that his Missouri defense has had, it would be a home run hire.
Has Memphis hired a coach yet?
They have not.
Okay, so that's the one thing I keep hearing is Barry Odom's name and the Memphis job. So I don't know how much truth there is in that. So maybe that's the thing that's holding some of that up, is he's waiting to see if he gets the job at Memphis.
Yeah, which could be. And somebody said that what's keeping him from joining Mike Norvell over at Florida State because of the previous working together there. And again, he might. He absolutely might. But I'm just saying that since he's unemployed and we know that Sam Pittman and him at least have a good enough friendship to talk together, that may be an option.
And here's the thing. Now, I don't know if I kind of think Sam Pittman might have, I don't know if he got 500 texts from coaches that want to come to work here. But let's just say he's half right on that number.
Okay.
Because I can lose track of texts sometimes, how many you get. But let's just say there's 250 people that have texted him. There may be someone better than Barry Odom that wants to come to work here.
Now, wouldn't that be something? I
don't know who it'd be either. But if he's truly had that many people reach out wanting to, if the coaching community has reached out to him as he's portrayed, and I don't have any reason not to believe that. 500's a lot, but again, say it's half right. You know, you may have a candidate in there you like better. I mean, The only reason you like Barry Odom's name is because he has been a sitting head coach. You know, it's a name you're familiar with. And again, we get caught up into playing the name game far too much. So, you know, give Sam Pittman some time. He needs to get through the 20th, I guess, and get through that early signing period, and then you can kind of bear down on that.
Yeah.
And then really the rush then is what? You know, there might be some guys coaching bowl games you'd rather go after. Who on that Georgia staff might want to come with him? You know, so just keep your powder dry on some of this.
Of course. But you would say, though, for sure, that if they hired Barry Odom as their defense coordinator, that would excite you.
Yeah, I mean, okay. There's nothing wrong with that hire. I'm just saying it may not be his only option.
Right.
May not be his best option.
Well, and that's the key, is because he's going to have options. He's Barry Odom. I mean, he has got
I mean, Sam Pittman's got other options.
No, I know. But I'm saying that also Barry Odom's going to have options, too.
I don't want to hire someone that doesn't have options.
Yeah, it's usually not a good sign.
You know. It's like having people on your staff that no one else wants to hire away from you. You don't want that either.
No. You don't want to have retention every single year on your coaching staff.
Or people that are never getting interest from anyone, you know.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want. But, you know, since if there's options, it's going to come down to the recruiting. Kind of fits in with Recruiting Thursday. But it's going to come down to the recruiting of Sam Pittman, not only for these players, but from some of these coaches. If Barry Odom, you know he's available. But you also know that he's a hot commodity and that there are other jobs out there that I am sure, 100%, that other coaches are interested in and going to. How are you going to sell Barry Odom if you're Sam Pittman saying, hey, come to Arkansas, this is what you're going to get. This is what we're going to do for you. If it's as simple as money, okay. You're going to have to find a way to pay him for it.
Don't show him that secondary from last year on film.
Well, hey, maybe him coming in can fix that. Maybe they can fix those problems. Mm. I don't know. That again, that's what it comes down to, is can they fix it? Can they fix it in a quick, fast, and in a hurry method? I don't know if Barry Odom's that guy. Maybe he is. But I know that it would excite Razorback fans because they would actually see familiarity with a coach and see a guy that had great defenses at Missouri and a guy that, for the record, Tommy, never lost to Arkansas as head coach of Missouri, mind you. Wanted to make sure that was known.
In a rivalry game.
Disgusting. Do you realize Kevin Sumlin and Barry Odom never lost to Arkansas? And both of them got fired for performance reasons at their respective schools?
Barry Odom got fired after beating Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean, like, less than 24 hours.
He didn't beat him enough. He didn't win by a big enough margin. So, I don't know. It would be fascinating. Hopefully that happens. It'd get me excited, but we're just going to have to wait and see. All right, let's get into your Hog update here on The Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Sooey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you.
It's still in there.
Touchdown, Arkansas!
Revel in it. Revel in it. He gets covered up with ball wheels and white.
This is your Hog Update on The Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
All the best brands at the best prices getting you ready for Christmas, and they're not afraid to say Christmas at the Ozark. Stop in and see them: Benelli, Glock, Smith & Wesson, Wilson Combat, Nighthawk, Daniel Defense, and much more. All the best clothing and footwear brands by Columbia, Carhartt, Drake, boutique brands, Blowfish, New Balance, and a whole lot more there. And they can personalize anything you want with print and embroidery. They have a in-house shop that can take any shirt, jacket, or any item you want personalized and do that for you as well. Anything and everything for you and your family this year is at the Ozarks. Ozark Sportsman Supply at Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog update, the Arkansas women's basketball team defeats Tulsa in just a landslide last night in Bud Walton Arena. 91-41. Still continuing on with the great start for Mike Nabors. Also, Barry Ulani, as we mentioned, released a statement yesterday thanking everyone for the past years, not only as a player, but as a coach at Arkansas. And now as he is moving on to UTSA to be the offensive coordinator there, just a class act all around. And, you know, it was always being alluded to and talked about of the possibility of Barry Ulani becoming the next head coach at Arkansas. Obviously, that didn't happen. But I'm telling you right now, if he has success at UTSA, builds it up into a new job, becomes maybe a head coach and has success there at some point or at some school, he will be welcomed back to Arkansas. And if Arkansas ever has to go through a coaching change once again, Barry Lunney's probably going to be one of those names at the top of the list if he ends up having that big level success.
I think Barry Lunney was very close to being the head coach this time.
Yeah, he was.
Sam Pittman had decided to stay put at Georgia or said no for whatever reason, which he didn't. He wanted the job. I think it was down to Sam. I don't think there's any question. It was down to Sam Pittman and Barry Lunney. And he was one of the last two interviews. And Sam Pittman got the job. I think Barry was that close to getting the job here. A lot closer than I think most realize.
Mm-hmm.
From everything that's kind of been told the last two or three days. I mean, he interviewed late last week prior to the decision to hire Pittman. So I had another interview with Juracek, is my understanding. So I think he was very close this time, and that leads to the disappointment of not getting the job when you think you're that close to getting it.
And that's why he's one of the reasons why he's moving on to UTSA. Yeah,
feels like he needs to. Can't blame him.
And let's be honest, too, folks. He knows that if this didn't work out and if he didn't get the job at Arkansas as a head coach, there's not many places out there, if any places, that are going to be naming a head coach who's been a tight ends coach / special teams coach at Arkansas. Like that you don't make that leap normally from being a tight ends coach to a head coach. Like, it just doesn't happen. So
they named an O-line coach head coach.
And that's even more frequent. That's rare, but it's more frequent than a tight ends coach. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So by becoming an offensive coordinator of UTSA, even though you doesn't really add up, you're like, well, it'd be like an Arkansas job would be better than what it would be as a coordinator at UTSA. But as far as how far it goes for your resume and what people look at when they're looking at new head coaches, they see you've been an offensive coordinator. That just adds another element to your game and adds another piece to your resume that people are going to really pay attention to. So it makes sense. It makes career logical sense for Barry Lunney to move on and to take that job. So wish him the best luck. I know a lot of Razorback fans are going to be interested in seeing how he performs. They're going to follow his career a lot. And it's just amazing. And Tommy, he was here since 2013. I mean, he came on with Brett Bielema.
Yep.
And he waved through the storms of all the uncertainty about it, and he stayed with it.
Had been in college coaching before, GA at Arkansas, then went with Fitz Hill out to San Jose State. Spent a little time at Tulsa, if I remember right, as well. Then things didn't work out. Ended up working with his dad at Bentonville. Probably one of the times he'll look back on, a great time to coach with his dad. And I'm telling you, that great experience there. Then, you know, the last 7 years at Arkansas, but I think he's firmly found his footing in college coaching now.
Yeah, I do too.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
Hi, guys. I'm doing wonderful. Good to be with you.
Well, it's always good to have you on, and it seems like since we talked to you on Tuesday, there's just been so many things going on with the Razorback football program and Sam Pittman. He's hit the ground running in recruiting, still trying to get some guys on staff. Just what have you thought about the first few days of Sam Pittman being named the head coach of Arkansas and some of the stuff that he has already accomplished just in these first few days?
Well, yeah, you're right. Going out there swinging at these recruits. And it's what the calendar forces you to do now, because signing day is coming up in just a couple of weeks. And so at the same time, he's trying to hit the homes of kids who've been committed to the Razorbacks to lock them down. He's also trying to bring in a staff. And it looks to me like between the time he got hired and the end of his press conference, he had already had discussions with Brian Davis, who, you know, the Missouri staff was also let go. So he brought his guy down. He was a grad assistant under Sam in 2008 in North Carolina. He's got a good track record. He's a dude from Baton Rouge, played at Oklahoma, was on the national championship team, and he's got him in here, and it looks like some of the current staff is out there on the road with him as well.
What about coordinators? We're hearing a lot of conversation, or the name Barry Odom keeps coming up as defensive coordinator. Do you think that's going to happen? And Chip Long, who was a GA under Petrino at Arkansas, 10 years ago or so, has been let go at Notre Dame. Do you think that's a name of interest on Sam Pittman's radar for offensive coordinator?
Well, obviously both would be very viable. Chip Long, I remember his time here before, just a you know, a pretty serious guy, but he has moved his way up the chain fast. I mean, he's been in Arizona State and I think Illinois and Memphis. And some of his offenses, the one at Memphis, and then some of them at Notre Dame have been very explosive, dynamic, all those terms you want to use. And so he's building up a nice resume. Yeah, a lot of smoke around him this morning. And then on Odom, I just keep thinking that his background at Memphis would make him a leading candidate, if not the strongest candidate. But I don't know what direction their search is going in. And clearly a guy of his caliber could, you know, sit back a little bit and wait and see what develops. But if there's no head coaching opportunities that he sees in the near term, if he was to be your defensive coordinator, that would be, I think, a major hire, because he's already got the scouting on so much of the rest of the SEC. He's got the legitimacy of what he's done the last 4 years. And, you know, 25-25 at Missouri in 4 years, it's not great, but, you know, they were facing sanctions and a loss of bowl opportunities a lot of that time. So, and I think he's a good man. So I think both of those are legitimate. And we're hearing a little bit about Tim Horton. You know, they're going to need a running backs coach. And Tim loves this state and knows the caliber of athlete that can come to Arkansas. So it wouldn't be a shocker there either.
Yeah, I think he'd crawl from Nashville to get here to get that job.
Absolutely. Tim's a great guy. And, you know, I think it's always important to have somebody with deep state ties on your staff, as Barry Lunny has been for the past 7 years, and Tim was right before that.
Well, let me ask you, Tom, since you've had recruiting visits obviously taking place from Sam Pittman, and he's bringing along or has brought along Steve Caldwell, we know that for a fact, also Justin Stepp. I mean, are you leaning towards those two guys maybe staying on staff? And if so, is that a good move by Sam Pittman?
Well, having some kind of staff carryover, I think, is smart. And Justin Stepp, obviously a top 25 recruiter in the country this year, as rated by Rivals, would also help with, you know, this is a young wide receiver core, and he landed. I mean, their wide receiver core between Knox and Nash and TQ Jackson, Shamar Nash was one of the highest rated in the country, and so you have continuity there. Now, you know, he's not a long time veteran guy, so his skills as a position coach, I think, need to come along. But his skill as a recruiter is outstanding. So I think it would make sense. And I've also heard Ron Cooper might be out on the road as well. So, those guys are basically still employed by Arkansas. Their termination letters, however, did read not to be engaged in, you know, with the current players or recruiting unless directed by Hunter Yurecek. And so clearly Sam has asked Hunter Yurecek to let these guys go out and do this, and you would think that's a prelude to something coming up down the road for them to remain at Arkansas.
So what do you think is Sam Pittman's number one priority now that he's hitting this recruiting trail? Obviously talking to a lot of the kids that are already committed, but what are the emphasis here? Is he just going out and he's going to try to get some of the guys he already had committed to Georgia? What's kind of his game plan right now?
Well, I think it's a combination of everything. I mean, you go see Jacoby Criswell. Well, you want to try to score the best quarterback in the state, and a kid who could be a good trigger for this class. And, you know, if he's coming, maybe you attract other great skill talent, and you know Sam is going to attract great O-linemen. He did that in his previous term, and you feel like he'll do that again, and they'll start being stronger in their trenches right away. And so between securing guys who had committed, possibly trying to get guys who had decommitted in the interim term, and then attract upcoming talent and also work on the coaching staff, because here pretty soon they got to start putting together their playbook to get ready for spring drills.
All right, and finally, before we let you get out of here, Tom, obviously the Arkansas basketball team, we didn't get to talk much about it, but they did have their first loss of the season handed to them by Western Kentucky on the road in overtime. Got another game coming up this weekend against Tulsa. What do you make of this matchup, and what do you think of the Razorbacks trying to bounce back after that loss?
Yeah, you just heard for them that they had that 6-point lead with about a minute left. And I think, you know, Western Kentucky's fast guard, Hollingsworth, was just blowing by. I mean, Witt fouled him a couple of times way too early on the shot clock. They could have run down more seconds there. That would have been, I think, the trigger to get in a win there. So you hate it. Western Kentucky kind of had the mojo in overtime. Looks like Desi Seals is going to be okay because that was a rough tumble he took onto his left shoulder. And I do think sometimes a loss can start pointing you toward, hey, here's where we've got to get better. And so they're talking about scrambling for rebounds better, and we'll see if they can make those improvements heading into this Tulsa game.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate it, Tom. Have a great weekend, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
Outstanding. See you.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
You even do burpees? Have you ever done a burpee?
Oh, yeah. And they're no fun.
Oh, okay. Well, we may have to work on your form because I don't know.
My form?
Actually, yeah, because I don't know if you're
there's
doing
not
the
a lot of form and burpees.
What are you talking about? You got to.
Well, you quickly get down on the ground. You kick your legs out. You bring them back in.
But you got to do the form of the push-up.
Jump back up.
We just may need to work on this, Tommy.
And then you repeat it.
We may just need to work on this. So, but they're not fun, no. I was like honestly setting you up to make an old man joke about burps and be like, oh, I've done a burpee after eating a good burger. Yeah. Swig of Coke. Yeah, I thought that would be the case. But, hey, by the way, also, real quick before we get to Richard Davenport, we're going to be doing our giveaway for our Branson trip.
Yep.
Being announcing the name after Richard Davenport.
Thousands of you have entered, and we'll name the winner coming up.
That's right. So just be on the lookout for that.
Great turnout.
Yes, that was absolutely. And I mean, who doesn't want to spend Christmas time in Branson? I mean, it's amazing up
there. And here's the deal. You get to choose the date you go.
That's right. So it's up to you. It's a great trip. So we're going to be giving that away after we get Richard Davenport as we go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, talk a little recruiting on this Recruiting Thursday. Good morning, Richard. How you doing?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I feel pretty honored that I'm kind of leading into the big announcement. So I'm not going to lie to you. I'm getting a little cocky right now.
Well, we may let you be part of the announcement.
That's right. That's right. At the end of the interview, we may have you be a part of it. So we'll have some. We'll have some fun with that, Richard. Well, lots of things. I know you've been busy with Sam Pittman hitting the road, getting a lot of recruiting trips in, talking to some kids, just. Give us your overall feel of how Sam Pittman has been hitting the road on the recruiting trail right now.
Typical hitting the road after an announcement, and you only have about 4 or 5 days before you host kids for official visits. It's fast and furious, and then you add in that he's trying to put together a staff, and he's also trying to keep kids on campus. And I tell you, man, being a head coach, a newly hired head coach nowadays, because of the early sign-in period and the portal, has changed everything. And I can't imagine. He can't be getting more than 2-3 hours sleep a night. It's so intense right now.
All right. How did it go with Jacoby Criswell? That's what people care about. The Gatorade Player of the Year, one of the most prized recruits in this state, committed to North Carolina, quarterback. He was there in Morrilton visiting. How did it go?
Well, from what I can tell, it went well. But as of yesterday, Jacoby still planned to visit North Carolina this weekend. He would leave on Friday, and he still plans to sign early. So as of right now, I would say it's not looking good, but I'm sure Coach Pittman and is trying to, get him to delay, sign until February. If you can do that, you got a shot. But let's face it, Jacoby doesn't know Coach Pittman that well. I mean, he knows of him, I'm sure, but he doesn't know the philosophy. You know, necessarily, Coach Pittman as a head coach doesn't have a track record of what his offense will look like. He can tell Jacoby, but Jacoby doesn't have anything to go off of other than just what he's being told. So, and North Carolina obviously has had that relationship and has had his commitment since June. So, right now, I would probably say that he's going to end up a Tar Heel, but I'm sure that they're going to do everything they can do to try to get him to delay the decision.
So about these assistant coaches also going in and visiting some of these recruits, we saw that Steve Caldwell was doing some visits. Also, Justin Stepp's been reported that he was on some of these visits too. Does it look like those two individuals are going to be retained? What's kind of the status with those guys?
Right now, I had to say, I don't think that Caldwell will be retained. I can't say that for sure, but I know, there are people around that's been around him that thinks that it's probably not going to happen. Obviously, things could change. Sam's in doing the right things. You know, going out with some of these guys, and because they had previous relationships with some of the kids that he's seeing, and obviously getting some background on the kids from Coach Caldwell, Coach Stepp, Coach Cooper, so. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be retained. Now, I think Stepp has a decent shot at staying on. I really do. I could be wrong, but I think that just because of what he's done recruiting wise, especially in the 2019 class, I think that gives him a shot at staying on. And right now, he's basically getting a job interview by being out with Coach Pittman. And they were in Savion Williams' home last night. The receiver that was committed to him from Marshall, Texas, then reopened his commitment after Coach Morse was fired. So, and from what I understand, the visit went well last night. And I think probably if you're around Justin very long, you see a guy that obviously is well loved by his players and his recruits. And I know Savion, if Coach Stepp is retained, he's coming. There's no doubt about it.
All right, so give us an update, because there's been so many decommitments, and kind of where things stand as of today with how many commitments Arkansas has, because it's been kind of a fluid number, and obviously a lot of the Texas guys left the commitment list when Chad Morris was not retained as head coach. So where does Arkansas stand right now with Sam Pittman just days into the job?
Well, you got six commitments right now. The three in-state guys plan to sign early next week. You have the two kids from Knoxville West High School, Tyrese Edwards and Drew Francis. Both of them will make official visits January the 17th, 19th, and sign late. They obviously just want to get to know Coach Pittman and the staff more before they sign. But, I mean, right now, you know, at least you only have Coach Pittman and Coach Davis right now that you know it's going to be on the staff. So these kids are kind of trying to figure out, what they should do. Should they sign early? Should they sign late? And half of them look like they may sign late and three sign early. But you got six. When Coach Morris signed had his first early signing period, he signed seven kids. I think you're probably going to look around, hopefully, if you're an Arkansas fan and Coach Pittman, you're hoping to sign around that number or more, maybe 7-10 right now. But it's so fluid, it's kind of hard to really predict what it's going to look like next week for the early signing period.
Well, can you tell us about any of the assistant coaches or coordinators, at least, that are being rumored around? Do you know of anybody that's really standing out, anybody that would be a good fit at Arkansas? Because that's what a lot of HVAC fans are wondering, exactly. Who's going to be the coordinators of these two units?
Yeah, no doubt. And I heard you guys talk about it earlier. Eric Odom definitely would be a great fit. All depends. Does he get another head coaching position? Obviously, Memphis would be a natural job for him because he's a DC there before going to Missouri. So you have to look at him, and I think he and Sam really mesh well together as far as their philosophies and how they are as far as coaches and how they coach. Jay Johnson at Colorado is a guy that worked with Sam for a couple of years at Georgia. He's the OC there. And I think he's one to keep an eye on. I hear the name Chip Long, and I think that may be a possibility. But if there's one that I would probably say would probably make more sense is Jay Johnson, just because Coach Pittman has been, on the same staff and has seen his work behind the scenes and on the field.
All right. Also, tell us about this guard that's going to be coming in and visiting Arkansas. This offensive guard looks like, according to your article, he's the ESPN's number six offensive guard in the nation, and he's checking out Arkansas. What can you tell him about? Tell us about his visit coming up.
Yeah, Marcus Henderson. He was recruited. He's 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", about 300 pounds, from Memphis University High School. He had a previous relationship with Brad Davis. They had an in-home visit last night. He'll be coming in Friday and leaving on Sunday. Ray Curry Jr., he's another big offensive lineman from the Memphis area. He'll be coming in Friday and leaving on Saturday to head to Missouri for a visit. He's currently committed to Missouri, but obviously was recruited by Brad Davis. So those are two offensive linemen that we know for sure that are coming in. I think there's going to be several kids coming in, other kids coming in this weekend. I know of one other kid that kind of wanted to stay off the radar until he visits, and I think most fans are pretty excited about. But as of right now, I got three definitely confirmed and a few maybe possibilities.
Richard, what about JUCOs? What about transfers? Because we know that when Sam Pittman first originally came to Arkansas, there were a few on the offensive linemen, guys like Cam Jefferson, Sebastian Traytola. Obviously, they weren't afraid to go that route. Do you think that Sam Pittman, understanding some urgency on some positions, that that's quite another route that they may go, maybe even for a quarterback, something like that, when they hit the transfer portal?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, early signing period, 70% of the high school kids will sign early. So your talent pool for this February signing period is going to be greatly reduced. So the portal is another talent pool that you can kind of hit into and look and see if you can find some offensive lineman or another quarterback or whatever positions that he thinks that they may be shy on as far as talent wise and may need immediate help. He can definitely look at the portal, and you cannot. Absolutely cannot ignore the portal because of the amount of kids that are going in there. So you got to look at that possibility. As far as junior college, Sam, when he was in Arkansas, recruited the Kansas junior colleges pretty heavily. He's got great relationships with the coaches in that area. He's well known in that area. He coached in that area also. So don't be surprised if maybe they hit the junior colleges in Kansas.
All right, Richard, before we let you get out of here, we're going to have you help us out with this giveaway that we're doing. We just need you to pick a number, a random number, between 1 and 4,000. If you can just give us a random four-digit number between 1 and 4,000, I guess it doesn't have to be four-digit, but just a random number, that will decide who gets the Branson Trip giveaway. Can you do that for us?
God, that's pressure.
That's a lot.
All right. I'm going to go with 34 since Sam's the 34th Arkansas head coach. How's that?
Just the number 34?
34.
All right. Well, there you have it. So we're going to have to have our looking it up. Tommy's got his laptop out there. He's got his readers on. So make sure you pronounce the name correctly too, Tommy.
No promises.
We better take a break.
Yeah, we might take a while then if that's the case. So, tell you got it?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. You could have just typed.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
All right.
I think I can pronounce this name.
Let's hope so. Do you have
the winner? Are you ready for this? The winner? Are you ready?
I've been ready.
You ready? The winner of the 2019 Branson Christmas giveaway. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Tommy.
Michael Martin.
Congratulations, Michael.
He entered on the 11th day of November. And we'll be giving you a call. He lives in the 870. He's got an 870 number. So congratulations.
Okay. Congratulations to Michael.
And Michael Martin.
The Branson Trip. And you can thank Richard Davenport for calling your number.
Randomly picking 34.
Call me Michael. Yeah. Let's go, dude.
So thanks, Richard.
Yeah, thank you, Richard.
All right, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it, man.
So Michael Martin is our winner of the Branson Christmas giveaway. We want to thank Lynn Berry and her staff up at the Branson Convention and Visitors Bureau. This has been a great success for everyone, and hope you out there had fun. A lot of you entered. We had over 4,000 entries. And, hey,
It's going to be a wonderful trip for Michael and his family. Three nights at the Hilton Hotel Promenade in downtown Branson. This is the one on the landing. Tickets to Christmas shows, the whole package. Going to the Shepherd of the Hills for the North Pole Adventure. Ferris wheel ride at the Track Family Fun Park. We're going to feed you in some great restaurants. We're going to be doing this. This went so well. We're going to do it again in the spring. Well, I think I've been told we're going to do it again for Valentine's Day, maybe.
Oh.
And then perhaps we're going to do it again when Tiger Woods opens his golf course up there, do another trip up there that includes some golf. So
I think we'll have to do a show from up there, I think.
I volunteered me and Matty T to go up and do the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone's got to run the board, so I thought maybe
We got Ty to do that.
You could stay here and run the board.
We have him do
I told him if Tiger wanted to come on the show, we might.
See if we can squeeze him in. It depends if it's recruiting Thursday. So, you know, we can't.
We're going to be doing more with Branson because it is the live entertainment capital of the world. Everybody who doesn't like going to Branson? I mean, Branson's just awesome. I mean, it's a great weekend getaway. It's a short drive for everybody. So a lot of things to do. So, again, going to be a great time. We're going to give away more great stuff with Branson.
There's not a better place to go look at Christmas lights this time of year. Just every inch of that place is in lights. So I've already got a trip planned. Even though I didn't wasn't eligible to win the trip, I made my own trip plans.
Made your own trip there.
So Michael Martin, congratulations. You are the winner of the great Branson Christmas giveaway from the Branson Convention Visitors Bureau. HitThatLine.com and The Morning Rush.
Let's hope that he typed in his phone number correctly on the register. Yeah,
all of those people that had been entering day after day, and Richard goes to like, you know, somebody that had entered like the day, the, yeah, you know, 34, one of the first days.
34. Tickets, so. Hey, listen.
Sorry to the other, you know, 3,998 people.
I don't know how we could get more random than Richard just picking a random 34. Number.
Say like 2,000, you know.
Yeah, I figured he'd go four digits on it at
I was
least.
Scrolling through. I saw Miss Lisa had entered at least once. I saw her name in there. And I thought, boy, if she won the trip.
People make. Thinking that we rigged it or something like that for Miss Lisa. So, no, it goes out to Michael Martin. So, congratulations to Michael. It should be a great trip and a great time. And we're going to be doing more of these giveaways, as Tommy talked about. So, it's going to be pretty exciting to see how it all plays out. I mean, because here's the thing, too, with kind of Christmas. You know, we can talk about Christmas movies all day long. We can play some Christmas music. But it's like everybody's different. At what point does it become Christmas for you? Is it when you start seeing lights? Seeing Christmas decorations, and when you start hearing the music, is when you start seeing the movies on the air. Like, when does it become Christmas? People start wearing sweaters.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think the weather's also got to be right for it to be Christmas. Not snow. We never get snow. I mean, rarely do we get a white Christmas here. I mean, it's like.
I can remember like maybe one in my lifetime.
So it's not, but it can't be 75 degrees either. That doesn't feel like Christmas. So you got to have a little bit of a snap of winter. And
there's at least frost on the grass when you wake up.
Yeah.
And just driving with now there's, most people have their Christmas lights up.
Yeah. It's the decor. It's the ambiance around you. It's when you go to restaurants. It's when you go shopping. There's been Christmas stuff up for sale for, my God, since Labor Day. That doesn't feel like Christmas, but you're starting to hear the music a little bit. So
the treats are starting to be made.
You're starting to make plans. You know.
By the way, I've got a tin full of those chocolate, peanut clusters coming. Oh yeah, that's been made for us.
That's
got to
be part of it.
We're going to gain 10 pounds.
Yeah. Well, the thing is I actually this is sad but true. I bought my dog a Christmas gift, it is a 3-foot candy cane shaped bone.
Oh my gosh.
It's 3 feet long.
That'll take him 3 years to go.
Yeah, and that's my hope. That's my hope. This is because that way I don't have to keep buying him these dadgum rawhides.
But now it's not going to be a surprise. Rowdy's probably listening.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening right now in his kennel. Yeah, and now it's Santa's not going to bring you the
Christmas
gift.
Does Rowdy listen live or does he listen to the podcast? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sure Ty, since he's there already, I'm sure he's got it blaring live for him to listen to. So, but I don't know. Everyone's different when it comes to when Christmas hits them, but. To me, it's hard to beat when the Christmas music starts playing and you hear the smell.
We know we're just so many days away from some time off,
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And all of you people that think that fake trees are superior to real trees, I can't get on board with that. I'm not saying you can't buy a fake tree.
When's the last time you had a real tree in the house?
Last year.
You put one up?
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
I like the smell of pine. I don't like the sap, though.
Yeah. I could not. I was a kid the last time we had a real tree.
Did you not like? You just don't like to deal with the real
my parents
trees?
Didn't like it, yeah.
Oh.
All the needles, it was just a pain. You know, you got to go and you got to buy one. And I don't disagree with you, but.
It's the smell and.
It does smell like Christmas.
the whole experience of cutting down your own tree.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I never did that. But yeah.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
You know, we were talking a lot about Christmas today, obviously, with the Christmas music playing here on the Morning Rush, and we were talking about songs that we will not play, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is a song we will not play on the show, and it is The Little Drummer Boy. That song sucks. I am not allowing that song to be played here. So, let's just get that out of the way, since we're talking about songs that will not be played. Never understood it. You know, there are certain Christmas traditions or Christmas things that I don't understand and I will not be a part of. The Elf on the Shelf thing I've always thought was interesting. My nephews do that.
Yeah, we do that though.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I get it. It's cool. I just didn't grow up with the Elf on the Shelf.
No, we didn't have that.
We didn't have the Elf on the Shelf when I was growing up. So,
it's just another way. All Christmas is, when it boils down to it, guys. Y'all don't have kids yet. You'll understand this someday. All Christmas and all other holidays become, whether it's their birthday, Christmas, Easter, they're just bribes to get your children to behave in public and halfway behave at home. That's all that's all Christmas is about anymore, is something so that you can hold over your kids' head so that they will behave. So the Elf on the Shelf is just another tool in an effort to try to get your kids to halfway act like human beings in public.
I don't think I've ever heard it put that way.
But I don't think you'll find a more accurate description.
Does it work?
No, not at all. And sometimes you have to explain if you fall asleep and forget why the Elf on the Shelf failed to move, last night.
Well, he knew y'all were up too late.
Yeah.
He couldn't move because you weren't asleep on time.
That's right.
You were up playing your Nintendo Switch.
Your Fortnite, yeah.
So you need to get to bed early tonight.
Yeah. Well, I guess it does make sense when you put it that way, Tommy.
That's all these things are about.
You know, I was told by my sister-in-law and my brother that is part of this fun thing that they get to give the kids involved and they enjoy it and all that. And Tommy's over here, it's just a bribe to get them to behave.
Parenting is just a series of bribes to get your kids not to embarrass you in public. That's all it is.
Well, I can't wait to look forward to being a parent. Tommy makes it sound so amazing.
It's quite delightful.
Yeah. Do you wrap? You don't wrap. I'm not even going to ask you. I know you don't wrap your presents.
Me?
Yeah. Have you ever wrapped a Christmas present in your life?
Yeah, and it wasn't very pretty. Yeah.
No. Did you use newspaper?
No. Didn't use. Gift bags are just a godsend, right?
Yeah.
So lazy.
Do you wrap your presents?
Absolutely. I'm like the king of wrapping.
Well, good.
Really? We'll be bringing our gifts to you then,
One
if that's
thing
the case.
About the Elf on the Shelf, does Dad ever get like a little too much eggnog and then the kids wake up and like the elf's been, hooking up with a Barbie doll and stuff? Yeah. He's kind of left in like a compromising position.
Yeah, elf is hanging from the chandeliers.
I think that would all of a sudden just change the whole dynamic of the Elf on the Shelf if that's the case. So,
what are you trying to teach my children there, Matty T?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I do gift bags. To me, wrapping is too much time, too much work. I'm not about it. But I feel like your wife is probably an outstanding gift wrapper.
Not only an outstanding gift wrapper, she makes these custom bows that she cuts from these.
A long thing of ribbon.
A long thing of ribbon, exactly. And I don't know how she does it, but she gets in there and she's got scissors and she's got tape and she's got skills and it looks like $1 million. You hate to even open the gift. It looks so beautiful.
Does she want you to preserve them like as you're opening? It's like, be careful. Yeah. I need to use that next year.
She used to do that, and people used to save them, and we used to keep them for the tree next year. And now she just, let's throw it away.
Rip it apart.
That's the way to do it. I feel like that if you dove into...
She is a master wrapper on the Christmas
gift. I was about to say, because I feel like if you dove into the mind of your wife,
mm-hmm.
it would look like Pinterest.
Oh, there's no
like that. That, yeah. that would be the
Instagram and Pinterest. She's all about finding either something, a new way to wrap a Christmas present in a better way, or something new to crochet. One or the other.
Okay, because he's also big on the Instapot meals.
Oh, right? Yeah, Instapot stuff.
He's talking about the Instapot when she was in that phase when she was just making cakes like they're going out of style.
Thank God.
I think
she's even been talking.
Yeah, please.
She's been talking about Christmas cakes for you guys.
I mean, she was all about that. And so he always tells me about these projects and these things. And I'm like, that's Pinterest.
She was burning up all of her energy baking this time a year ago.
Yeah, it was about a year ago when it was the deals with the cakes and everything like that. So I'm telling you again.
Y'all want one of them cakes again? She got this deal where she can make one that looks like a...
I have been...
What kind of house? I don't know. Just it's like a Christmas house type cake.
You have pictures of this? I need to see.
Yeah.
But it's just fantastic.
I've been begging for that peanut butter cake she made that time.
The peanut butter cake?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the most amazing cakes I've ever had in my life. And it was beautiful that it's like you didn't want to cut it.
I'll put the, so pretty. I'll put the order in.
Thank you. And tell your wife thank you when she makes it to us. Yeah, but it's just, that's the thing is you say he was all horrible when she was making these cakes.
It was all wonderful. Y'all got a lot of the left. It's just tough on the old waistline.
You just got to get back into it.
Exactly.
You just got to get back into it.
You can't out-train a bad diet.
Yeah, you just got to do double the workout and burn off those extra calories.
Listen, you can't.
Unless you stop eating.
You can't. You got to just, starvation diet.
Yeah. No, you can't have that. So as far as Christmas and the food goes, though, I mean, what's the go-to?
Seriously, well,
like candy stuff or
just anything?
I like the pretzels with white chocolate and peppermint. Ooh, that's kind of a Christmas.
Those are very good. Those are good.
Does she make those?
No, but she can. I mean, she can make anything.
That's on Pinterest.
She can make it.
She could find a way. No, those are really good, Matty T. It's like anything with
peanut butter, I'm in on.
I'm always for that.
You take the Ritz crackers, you put the peanut butter in them, and then you dip them in the chocolate.
Oh man! Oh man! Yeah, we're getting into dangerous territory here. Yeah, those things, and what's the little cookies that have the Hershey's Kiss?
Snickerdoodles are they?
That's Snickerdoodles actual cookie.
I
like those though. It's like I like to eat around the Hershey Kiss and then kind of
in the middle. It's about the style you do it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, that was the thing is because we always like to relate holidays to food.
Yep.
Because we do that for Thanksgiving. Well, we 100%. Do it as
Americans, number one.
That's right.
And Thanksgiving is the best food holiday.
Without a question.
July 4th, 2nd. Christmas is down the list as far as food holiday.
Because you can really do whatever you want on Christmas.
We're doing, for the craft Christmas, we're doing Italian. So we're doing lasagna, we're doing pie, we're doing Italian salad.
Really, nothing on the smoker? I figure you'd want to smoke
something. I'll probably do some Italian sausages or something, but yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be a big Italian feast.
Oh, excellent.
Tiramisu.
Yeah, I may have to go to your house for that.
Come on.
That's the case.
Sunday night, 22nd.
Yeah, I don't know, like when it comes to food, I am all about any type of food, and I don't know, I actually eat more candy during Christmas than I do Halloween. Oh. I'm dead serious.
Yeah. Oh, I can see.
Oh, yeah.
And more than
Easter, too.
Yeah, and it's like those holidays are surrounded by candy.
And we haven't reached
haven't reached the point where it's starting to flow into the office here on a, daily basis, but it's coming.
Who's the one that does that here?
I don't know, but we need to fire them.
Yeah, you need to suspend them without pay for the next couple of weeks if they end up doing that, because that's going to be a problem, except for when, of course, Tommy, you have your wife bring in that wonderful cake.
You want the peanut butter cake,
please.
Right? All right.
Please.
I'll let Laura know.
I have never, because here's the thing. Nothing against red velvet cake. I love red velvet cake.
No, red velvet, no.
Okay, well, I'm just using that as an example. Yeah. I like red velvet cake, but you can get red velvet cake so many places. Yeah. Right. I can't get that peanut butter cake she made just anywhere.
Nope.
So what's your favorite cake then? Chocolate cake?
It's that Kentucky butter cake she makes.
Okay.
The one she made in that mold that looks like a house. Powdered sugar and all that, and you sliced off the chimney.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that made you mad.
I sent her. No, it didn't make me mad. I sent her a picture. She said, "Who cut the cake that way?" And I said, "John Neighbors."
I'm sorry, I missed out on the class of how to cut a cake that's made out of a house. Yeah. What's the protocol there?
You start with the side. Go for the garage or something. Right.
But the thing is,
a 2-car garage. Just take one.
But I was afraid if I cut that, then it would come crumbling down.
Did you cut the roof off horizontally?
This is very strange.
I didn't want a whole piece, Tommy. I just
wanted a chimney.
You wanted about five of them.
Yeah. Well, just let me know next time. I'll let somebody else cut the cake first. But yes, I do remember that. Yeah, but that was...
I can find a picture of this cake.
Yeah, because it was incredible. Because when they brought it, I do remember that, and everyone was freaking out because I cut off the chimney, and that's where I started.
Is she like, into all those, like, baking competition shows and stuff?
Oh, yeah, British baking show.
Yeah, you got to get her on one of those.
No, man.
There's this one on Netflix called Nailed It, but the whole thing is these people are terrible. So they'll have, like, a thing that looks like a house, and then they do it, and it's just a big, you know, clump that looks like something the dog left on the
yard. Oh, yeesh.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't bake. I know that a few of my family members have baked at times, but... telling you that peanut butter cake, I can't think of anything better than that as far as cakes go.
There you go, Maddie. I'll send that out.
Yeah, you got the
picture. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'll send this out.
How long did it take her to do that?
It's even got a beautiful yard around it.
Yeah. 2 hours.
A couple hours, a few hours, whatever.
For that?
I don't know. 3 days? I don't know.
Oh, they had to take it.
Yeah, I'm about to say, if she did that in 2 hours, she does need to be on one of those competitions. Start making some money.
Like, it could have taken all week, but Tommy's like, I don't know. I just saw it. It was
yeah,
there.
Just,
you know,
it was there one. Wasn't there one day, and then it was there the next.
She whipped up, you know.
Yeah. Man. Now I'm excited about this cake.
That would win a competition.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would. Tommy's not showing his appreciation.
I want to live in there.
Should have encouraged her to continue to make these cakes.
Now I got people talking about sports. Got my buddy Brian. Y'all aren't talking about sports.
Who cares?
We're changing formats. Now we're the holiday
cooking. Just because you listen for 10 minutes, Brian.
That's it.
You don't go to work till 9:30.
Did you miss the first 2 hours and 45 minutes of the show when it was nothing but recruiting and Sam Pittman and all that stuff? Come on, man. It's the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. Bah humbug to you too, buddy.
Seriously. Come on now. Come on now. See, we had people texting in. Justin Van Buren said peppermint bark.
I love it.
Yeah, it was one of his things when it came to the food there too.
I mean, he wants us to talk about the playoffs. What? Talk about how bad Oklahoma's gonna get beat by LSU? He's big Oklahoma guys.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Go Tigers. Just completely destroy Oklahoma if that's the case.
B said you're supposed to cut through the guest house first. You know,
all right, I just tweeted that out so you can get a sending now. So.
Okay, all right.
So everybody went, well, what's this cake he's talking about? Well, let's go to my Twitter page. You can find it.
Mm-hmm. At TommyCraft ESPN.
There you go. Mm.
You didn't tweet on the show account, Tom?
No, I did not.
Oh, come on, you did not.
Why? Come on now. I thought we're company people here.
When's the last time you did?
Well, that's true. It's a good point there. It's a good point there.
My wife's cake is copyrighted. I'm sorry.
It's copyrighted.
Rights and restrictions.
Yeah, just retweet yourself. You'll find a lot of people seeing it.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.